Now, is there such a thing as Aboriginal design? Can we make consumer objects, things like furniture, that embed an Aboriginal way of seeing the world? Or a story even? Well, the designer Nicole Monks, my next guest, thinks we can. Nicole's design practice is multi-art form. We met her earlier this year in Darwin when she won the Wanjuk Marika Memorial 3D Award at the Telstra's. She's designed a new furniture range, which, while being functional, are beautiful cultural objects as well. They tell a story. The centrepiece of the Malu range, that's what it's called, is a throne-like chair. Now, it incorporates the distinctive shape of the hunting boomerang, which is shaped a bit like a seven or an L, and a sitting-down place. But there's another chair of a very familiar design. I'm with Nicole Monks on the floor of her exhibition at the Australian Design Centre on William Street in downtown Sydney. We're standing at what's called a concept table. Now, there are lots of things on the table. Hardwood samples, fabric swatches, there are gum nuts, even a small woven basket, and there are leaves from her sketchbooks. And there's a photograph of a landscape. It's a dry lake in the Murchison River system in Western Australia. It's dry as though. Instead of water, it's overgrown with wildflowers. But the inspiration for Nicole's furniture range begins way back when, with a big old pot of kangaroo tail stew.
So Malu is the name of my furniture range. Malu means kangaroo in Yamaji Wadjuri language. And it all comes from a story I was told about my great-great-grandmother, Laurie Donnelly, who made kangaroo tail stew. So I have three pieces to the range. One is wabun wabun, which means bounce, which is after the kangaroo. Then I have the boomerang, which is used to hunt the kangaroo, that is Wallanu. And then there's sitting together, which is Nyandamandaha. I hope I got that one right. And that means sitting together, and that's what we do when we all come together and eat the kangaroo tail stew. So it's really just taking inspiration from that story and then embedding it in a sort of a design concept and then working it through from concept, which we're at now, the concept table. So there's lots of different bits and bobs on this table. There's kangaroo skin, fur, there's leather, there's metal, there's timbers. Everything on this table I've tried to keep as eco-friendly and sustainable as I can. The kangaroos are sustainably harvested. All the timber is FSC certified. The paint that I'm even using in the exhibition is all low VOC, which is volatile organic compounds. So all of these things that kind of you can make decisions about in today's environment, whether you choose one that is eco-friendly or not. I've tried to make that decision to go for the most eco-friendly one that I can. Yeah.
There's an image I think of, what's that?
That's actually Lake Wooleen, just after the rains have come and gone and all of the wildflowers are starting to come up out of this where this lake was, and it only happens every few years. So when it does, the wildflowers that come up are just gorgeous.
So a dry lake?
A dry lake for most of the time, yeah. And when it does rain and it does fill up, birds just come from everywhere. I wasn't there to see the birds, but I wonder how they have that memory, you know, from years before to just know when to go and find this lake. It's quite amazing.
Where is it?
It's out on the Murchison. It's in Wooleen, so that's out on Yamaji Wadjuri country, and it's actually where my great-great-grandmother Laurie lived for part of her life.
It's beautiful. So the Murchison, that's the in Yamaji country in Western Australia.
Yes, Western Australia, yeah.
So we're talking about Yamaji country, that's, I'm thinking Geraldton?
Yeah, Geraldton. It's inland from Geraldton, so it's a couple of hours inland from there. So Geraldton is about 6 hours north of Perth, and then it's another 2 hours or so inland from there, yeah.
So this lake is inspiration to what we see, to these concepts here.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, it would have been on this exact country that my great-great-grandmother would have made her kangaroo tail stew, and the men would have hunted the kangaroos. And when I went out there, you know, we actually saw some boomerangs there that would have been used to hunt these kangaroos. So all of these things kind of added up, and I was like, how can I use the skills that I have today, being an interior designer, and an artist and make something that I can, you know, embed that story into.
What was so good about her kangaroo tail stew? I mean, was it the taste?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I think she did one Yamaji way and one with bacon and onions, which was like the modern way. Yeah. But apparently it was just really amazing. It's actually written up in a book, so I've got the recipe, but it's got a lot of bits and bobs in there, and I'm not a cook, so I would have just made the stew if I was. But I hopefully one day we'll make it, but I'll have to get some cooking lessons first.
Let's have a look at this product range. The product range is called Malu. Obviously, that is the word for not just spoken. It's also the word for kangaroo in cross central Australia. So it's a very, it's quite a common a word which means a lot to a lot of people. But we're standing in front rather. I actually got to sit in this chair.
I caught him sitting on it earlier.
it was very comfortable. Just describe this, because people will know this design, the basics of this design.
Well, it's a cantilevered chair, and then it's a very sort of round chair as well. So the idea with this chair is that it actually has a kangaroo skin blanket that sits within it, and then you can sit inside and wrap yourself like a little joey inside the chair. So it's about having that comfort and nurturing feeling, but also, you know, it has this cantilevered base that sort of is symbolic of the bounce that a kangaroo does, and it's made from kangaroo leather and hemp. So again, with all natural fibres and metal and gold. It's got a little bit of bling, this chair, so.
Totally blinging. I mean.
Yeah. Which again, gold, copper and nickel, they're all found on country as well. So it's about, you know, pulling those stories through as well and, you know, showing the value not just in the way that we see the land, but also, you know, in this very modern context, people, why they want the land as well, you know, why people are getting moved off communities and things. It's because of the wealth of the land in this modern day for people. So it's about bringing those stories up as well, because there's a lot of mining and a lot of things like that that are happening out on country that, you know, we're all part of it in a way, I guess. You know, I do wear my gold rings and things like that. So it's sort of understanding how we fit into it as well, and making sure that we're not taking, you know, too much, I guess, or, you know, we're trying to give back, I guess, is more the story.
Now, another aspect of the furniture range is the boomerang chair.
Yeah, the boomerang chair, Wallanoo. So this chair probably came to me more in my sleep than anywhere else. I was thinking about the boomerangs, and I went to sleep just imagining, you know, their flight and how innovative they are, and just as an amazing object. And then I woke up and I had this image in my mind. So I sit next to a sketchbook next to my bed when I go to sleep. So I woke up and I just sketched this one straight into it. And then I use like 3D programs and CAD and all those kind of things, so very technical stuff, and drew it up and then got it made. So yeah, it's quite amazing. I think it sort of speaks to the innovation of the boomerang, because of the way when you look at it, it looks quite hollow and it's quite hard. Like, you'd think, is it going to hold me up? I don't know. Like, so yeah, it's almost like a throne too, like, pay homage to the boomerang.
It is very much a throne. And, you know, it's a certain type of person who would walk into a room and sit at a chair like this one.
That's right. That's right. It's very much a feature chair, I think, is probably
now, where this one sits. And I'm thinking that this is a... So this is the boomerang shape here? I mean, there are all...
Yeah, so it's a hunting boomerang. Yeah. So, and that's, again, a great conversation you can have with people, because most people only know the really asymmetrical boomerang, and, you know, there's all different types. And so, yeah, we can have a talk about the technology that Aboriginal people were using, you know, and this one in particular has a bigger head so that when it hits the prey, it really can take them down for dinner.
It's more of an L or a 7 shape. It's definitely a weapon.
Yeah, it's a weapon, that's for sure. Yeah. And again, it has kangaroo fur, but it was done in timber and gold, this one, before. So this is another iteration of the chair. Yeah, so it's it's really having a life of its own, this chair. People just really They really love it. They really just run to it and want, they run to it first and just go, oh, I love this chair. Oh, can I sit in it? And I, yeah, of course you can sit in it. And then that just opens up the conversation. Then I can start telling them, did you know that the inspiration is the hunting boomerang? And I don't even know what a hunting boomerang is, you know, like, or what is the difference, you know? And then you can talk to people about the innovation behind it and, you know, the part of the tree that the boomerang's taken from and all those different things that people just, I guess they just don't have, they have the understanding of, you know? So it's really great. All these furniture pieces are just sparking conversations everywhere. That's exactly what I'm hoping to do, is spark conversation and just get people talking and have these objects become part of our everyday. You know, I walk down the street or I'm in someone's house and, you know, you don't know that you're standing on Aboriginal land. You know, there's no symbols, there's nothing there. So if we can somehow start to embed these objects into the everyday and they can become part of, you know, the whole Australian identity, I think that we'll all be richer for it.
There are also some very beautiful rugs here.
Yeah, they're from the Jarjum collection. So that's the rug collection. And they're from some young school kids down at Jarjum's that have made these designs
in Redfern.
Yep, and they're going to come down. They're going to do a little workshop down here with me next week so that we can see the rugs in situ and have a talk about design and what Aboriginal design means. And, yeah, it's just great to be able to see, like, children seeing their artworks come to life in these objects. It's just amazing. And then to be able to bring them into, to talk to my pieces as well, just, you know, it just adds, it's just all that layering, you know, we can just bring all these stories together, so it's just fabulous.
And that thing about Aboriginal design, what do you think makes a design Aboriginal? Is it sensibility, is it context, or what for you, when you design something, what are the things that make that design Aboriginal?
For me, it's story. Yeah, it's definitely story, and the story that's in there. And the story has to be my story, my personal story. So for me, it's about talking to people about my family and just seeing what comes from those, you know, they're very, you know, just ad hoc conversations. They're not anything that, you know, we're not sitting down going, oh, now I want to design a furniture range, so can you tell me a story? It's not like that, you know. It's just a conversation that we have, and it's just over a cup of tea or anything. And then these stories, they just reveal themselves to you, I think. And for reasons, you know, I think the old people, you know, up there, they've got their magic still happening, you know, and so they're putting things in place where they need to be, when they need to be there. And I think it's just about telling those stories, just being almost like a conduit for those stories to still be told today. But, you know, I have Aboriginal heritage and I have Dutch and English as well. So I do draw from all of my heritage. So, I mean, some of the design aesthetic, I guess, from the Dutch is beautiful too. So I do try to sort of embed a little bit of that real minimal aesthetic as well, you know, and I think that really helps the story to really shine. Yeah, and I think people can connect with the object, and then when you tell them about the story, they've already got like this emotional attachment to the object, and so then they're really open to hearing about the story too, which is great. Mm.
What's the ideal when you make a piece of furniture? I mean, you're a designer. You do very many things. You just won the Wanjak Marika 3D Memorial Award at the Telstra Art Awards.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a performance work. You know, design kind of touches various parts of our lives. But when you design a piece of furniture, for example, what do you hope? Do you hope to create... Is it about the kind of sensibility? Is it about a lesson or teaching someone something? Or is it creating a piece of furniture that people really want to immerse themselves in?
It's really about the conversation. It always just comes back to the conversation for me. You know, if someone looks at it and they like it, great. But and I make it with that intention, you know, like I use all the skills that I have to try to make that object very appealing. But it's what's embedded in it and the story that makes that piece of furniture really important. And you know, whether it's this piece or a custom-made piece or whatever it is, those sort of, that ethos goes throughout everything that I do with designing, yeah. You do struggle with these questions all the time. Like I do, I always bring these up in my mind, you know, how do we live in a society like this where it's so consumeristic, and how do I feel okay with that, you know? Where do I fit in this? Do I just run off into the desert and just try to, you know, live there? Like, and but then I go, well, I would die, you know? And it's like, well, okay, can I make a difference here? You know, and yes, I think I can. So that's what I'm trying to do, yeah.
Nicole Monks and her furniture range, Malu, is on show at the Australian Design Centre on William Street in Sydney, in Darlinghurst. More details on our website, abc.net.au/rn.